The Meaning of the Transfiguration, a compilation.
The Transfiguration of Jesus was a unique event within his ministry. In the book of Matthew, the Transfiguration happened 6 days after the Apostle Peter stated, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And when Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. Following is the account of the Transfiguration. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, his brother, and led them up to a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. And Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make 3 tents here, one for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He was still speaking when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were terrified. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Rise and have no fear." And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus commanded them, "Tell no one the vision until the Son of Man is raised from the dead." Within the Gospels, Peter, James, and John form what seems to be Jesus' inner circle of his closest companions. They were with him in the Garden of Gethsemane right before his arrest, and they were the only ones allowed into the room when he raised the daughter of the ruler of the synagogue. And as Matthew described in the passage above, they were present at the Transfiguration as well. Once they were alone in that isolated spot, Jesus was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. In the Gospel of Luke, we read that the appearance of his face was altered, and his clothing became dazzling white. In Mark, it says, his clothes became radiant, intensely white, as no one on earth could bleach them. In the Old Testament, we read of God clothing himself in light. "O Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty, covering yourself with light as with a garment." In his book, The Gospel of Matthew, R. T. France explains, "The visual transformation is not so much a physical alteration as an added dimension of glory. It is the same Jesus, but now with an awesome brightness, like the sun and like light." The concept of seeing Jesus' majesty, honor, and glory is later expressed by the Apostle Peter when he wrote about this experience. "We did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, 'This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased,' we ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for we were with him on the holy mountain." During Jesus' transfiguration, Moses and Elijah appeared and spoke with Jesus. Some commentators suggest that the reason Moses and Elijah appeared was that Moses was the great lawgiver, and Elijah was an important figure among the prophets, and thus they represent all of the Old Testament revelation fulfilled in Jesus. In the Gospels of Matthew and Mark, nothing is said about what they talked about. However, in Luke, we read, "Two men were talking with him, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah. These shelters, like those made during the Feast of Tabernacles, would have most likely been made with branches and leaves and would protect them from the heat of the sun. He was still speaking when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. While Peter was still speaking about his tent plan, a bright cloud overshadowed them. Within the Old Testament, the presence of God is often symbolized by a fiery cloud associated with God's glory. God also spoke to Moses from the cloud so that the people would believe in Moses. In a similar manner, both through the presence of the cloud and God speaking about his beloved Son, the Father was setting his seal of approval on Jesus' ministry and making it known that the disciples should listen to him. Upon hearing the voice of God speaking directly to them, Peter, James, and John fell on their faces and were terrified. They responded, as did others in both Old and New Testaments, when they heard God speak directly to them, appear to them, or they witnessed his power. The disciples stayed in that position until Jesus came and touched them, saying, Rise and have no fear. And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. As the divine endorsement through the appearance of these two important Old Testament individuals and Jesus' transfiguration came to an end, Jesus touched the three disciples to reassure them. They then started back down the mountain, and Jesus commanded them, Tell no one the vision until the Son of Man is raised from the dead. Jesus had selected Peter, James, and John to go up the mountain and to witness this astonishing event, but he didn't want anyone else to know about it until after his death and resurrection. His suffering, death, and resurrection had yet to be accomplished. His destination was the cross, to lay down his life for humanity, to bring humankind salvation. Peter, Amsterdam. The purpose of the Transfiguration. Undoubtedly, the purpose of the transfiguration of Christ into at least a part of his heavenly glory was so that the inner circle of his disciples could gain a greater understanding of who Jesus was. Christ underwent a dramatic change in appearance in order that the disciples could behold him in his glory. The disciples, who had only known him in his human body, now had a greater realization of the deity of Christ, though they could not fully comprehend it. That gave them the reassurance they needed after hearing the shocking news of his coming death. Also, in his glorified form, they saw a preview of his coming glorification and enthronement as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The disciples never forgot what happened that day on the mountain, and no doubt this was intended. John wrote in his gospel, We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only. Those who witnessed the transfiguration bore witness to it to the other disciples and to countless millions down through the centuries. GotQuestions.org. The multifaceted glory of Jesus. The story of Christ's transfiguration would probably strike us as weird if it weren't so familiar. I mean, think about it. Jesus goes up on a mountain with three friends and meets two dead prophets, all while glowing in the dark. Even the word transfiguration is a word we never use except when referring to this story. The presence of Moses and Elijah is one of the most fascinating features of this story. Where else in the New Testament do you find Old Testament heroes showing up in person? But it's not hard to see why Moses and Elijah would be summoned for such a glorious mountaintop event. After all, both men had famous mountaintop experiences with God. Moses was especially relevant since it resulted in his own transfiguration, with his face shining so brightly they had to cover it with a veil. But Jesus wasn't simply shining the way Moses had, or the way you and I one day will. His was more than a reflected glory. It was the glory of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. Moses had asked God to show him his glory, and 1,500 years later, his prayer was still being answered as he gazed on the one who is the radiance of God's glory and the exact imprint of his nature. So the transfiguration wasn't only a preview of the future, it was also a peek into eternity at the glory Christ had with the Father before the world existed. It was a glimpse behind the veil at the glory that Christ continued to immutably possess, despite having hidden the glorious form of God beneath the humble form of a servant. The transfiguration is like a prism through which we can see the multifaceted glory of Jesus. In it, we see a picture of his unique authority. In it, we get a glimpse of the eternal glory he had veiled. And in it, we're given a preview of what our lives will be like on that final mountain, where we'll all be transfigured, where his glory will provide all the light we need. Justin Delahaye.
You've been listening to an audio production by The Family International. Visit us at www.thefamily.org.